seated. Good morning. We're going to look today at Luke, the 5th chapter, the first 11 verses, where Jesus told the apostles that they would become fishers of men, that from now on you will catch men. Starting in verse 1 of Luke 5, we've got the setting. The situation presents itself, and starting in verse 1, it says, "So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." I want to pause right there for a second. Verse 1 is a lesson all by itself. People were pressing in to hear the word of God. The crowd saw something special in this. They did not want to miss what Jesus had to say. They acknowledged it as the word of God. Verse 2, "And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets." So here's the situation. A crowd was, the multitude was pressing in around Jesus. They couldn't get close enough. They wanted to be able to hear the word of God. And verse 3 says, "Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Peter's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat." We can take some good lessons from the way Jesus conducted himself. Jesus never missed an opportunity to teach people. In the synagogue, as they're walking by the wayside, when somebody comes up and is requesting healing, here a crowd is pressing in and they want to hear the word of God. He didn't say, "Well, next Sunday, come see me at so-and-so, such-and-such temple. I'll be doing two lessons there." He took the opportunity right then and there to teach them the word of God. Verse 4, we see a command that he tells Peter to launch into the deep. How many times have we had to launch into the deep in our life? A new home, changing jobs, different decisions in our life, faith in God, trusting God, having to launch into the deep ourselves. How many times has Peter himself launched into the deep? Seems like a worn-out rut with Peter. Verse 4, "When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.'" I find this almost comical. From an earthly standpoint, it is. That a carpenter's son is telling a professional fisherman how to fish. But we'll see, it works out. At the beginning of verse 5, we see that these fishermen had been active, but ineffective. There's a lesson there. We can be active, but ineffective. We sometimes think we're spinning our wheels. Sometimes we are spinning our wheels with something, but we're still being obedient. It says, "But Simon answered and said to him," and he got this right, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." He is telling Jesus, and Peter gets this right, he refers to him as master. He right out of the barrel, he's calling the players properly. "Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing." They've been at it and came up empty-handed. They were active, but they were ineffective. And in the other part of verse 5, We see obedience. We've caught nothing, nevertheless, at your word. At your word, I will let down the net. That's the same word that the crowd had been pressing in, wanting to hear from Jesus. At your word, I will let down the net. And because of obedience, they had success. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. I would love to be a fly on the wall with this group, and just, you know, Peter probably snapping his head around, looking at Jesus, then going back to his fishing buddies. How does he do it? How many times has he done this before? Telling us something that when we follow his word, it works out. How many times do we have to be reinforced by this? Verse 7, we get a very good lesson of them working together. Peter couldn't have done it on his own. He had to work together with his buddies. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. It doesn't say it. This is probably the largest catch Peter and the boys had ever made in their lives. It doesn't say it. But I can only imagine this. They did that of all their professional career. This is probably the biggest haul they've ever made. But working together, they were able to accomplish it. Peter by himself couldn't have done it. This was a hard lesson for Peter. Hard lesson for Peter to rely on others. To rely on Jesus. Not a fisherman. To have to rely on his buddies. That's tough to do. To rely on others. I can do it myself. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes we can't do it ourselves. We have to rely on our brothers, our sisters, the Word of God, to get us through things. The benefits of working together. One, they have better results. Peter couldn't have done it by himself. The aid they get from each other, the comfort, the encouragement they get from each other, the encouragement we get from each other. Ligaya this past week has said over and over, thank you for the prayers, the visits. She's not relying on her own strength right now. She is relying on her faith in God, her love of her beloved husband, and her brothers and sisters. That's what she's leaning on right now. As Christians, we have a good lesson here that Peter was willing to lean on each other. Not do it himself. He couldn't have. In verse 8, as a result of this lesson, it humbled Peter. And it convicted him. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. It doesn't say it. It may be talking generically. Maybe just talking that we all stumble. Peter may have had, yeah, Jesus says, let the net down over here. Let's do it. Let's please the fella. Save an argument. Let's just throw the net in. He might have displayed disbelief. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, dear Lord. It might have been, I didn't believe you were going to do it. I didn't think this would happen. I'm a professional. I've been out there all night. And at your word, it happens. Why shouldn't it? At his word, the world was created. At his word will be judgment. The others were astonished at this event. Verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Doesn't say it. My guess, for whatever that's worth, I wouldn't bank on it, but this is probably the biggest catch they'd ever made. And then you see in verse 10, them applying it to them personally. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. But Jesus, what do you mean catch men? Want to throw a net over them? No, he knew what he was meaning. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Verse 11, they were converted. They just didn't hear the word of God. They were converted. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all, and followed him. They didn't try to keep one foot in the world when they turned to Christ. Trying to hold on to things in their life that maybe they shouldn't. They turned their back on it. They left, they forsook all, and they followed him. In Matthew 28, we see that you'll be fishers of men in real time. One of the last recorded things that we have in the Bible before Jesus was ascended back into heaven, he told them in Matthew 28, starting in verse 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Go catch men. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He told them, you will catch men. Jesus is sending them out to do that. Jesus is getting ready to go back into heaven, and on their shoulders will be the growth of the church. And he's sending them out. You go into the world. Not just preach the word. You make disciples of people. Baptize them and teach them everything that I've taught you. That'll keep you busy for a while. And it will be the foundation of the first century church. In John 20, starting in verse 30, at the end of the Gospel of John, it says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This confession that Peter made, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that's the goal that they were to reach out to other men, to bring them to that result that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him, you may have life. And they will teach people all the things Jesus had taught them for salvation. Jesus wants us. This wasn't just a command to the apostles. This wasn't just a command for Peter. God wants us. Jesus wants us to be fishers of men. Next week, I want us to look kind of a practical, how do we do it? We're told to be fishers of men. How do we, simple people, office workers, school teachers, corrections officers, how do we become fishers of men? And we'll look at that next week. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through baptism, through repenting of sin that's in your life, we urge you to come forward when Michael leads us in the invitation. I urge you to take the outline with you. Maybe read over those verses again this week. Also, in your private time, keep Kent and Lagaya in your prayers. They need it. If we can be of service to you, please come forward while Michael leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing together.